Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 7 o'clock tonight, and then it'll be Monday Night Football, where the wild card playoffs are still going on.
I hope it's a good game like it was last night, Mike.
Man, last night was an unbelievable game.
The other games were like entertainment if you don't have a dog in the hunt, like garbage.
Man, but
It was like, the game's not even close.
But showed why he's the coolest cat in the room. With everything kind of revolving around him, he made the plays when you needed it. And this is a guy that's just a rookie in the National Football League.
Well, look, the Saints hope they could be where Tampa Bay's at. Do we think Tampa Bay was going to win anything?
No.
But they've won the division 4 straight years. Last year they hosted a game, beat the Eagles. This year they hosted a game and they lost to the Commanders. But at least they're in the hunt. So that's why we're trying to get back where we're in the hunt. And I don't know. I'm looking at the Eagles and
Eagles didn't play well yesterday, but man, they crushed the Packers.
Crushed them. And then you look at Jalen Hurts. He's not even hovering around 200 yards passing, and they still win. I think, you know what the damn Super Bowl game? The Bills and the Ravens. I think that game, whoever wins that game, I think he's going to win it all. I don't care who comes out the NFC.
Who, you know who you got to play next? If you, whoever's the winner of that Ravens-Bills game. Who's next on the list?
Well, you talk about for sure? Or
well, not for sure, but because Kansas City got to play.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
the Chiefs, Texans and all, yeah.
How much money you've won off of betting against Mahomes?
No, you bet against Mahomes like betting against Tom Brady, you lose. Until you beat the man, and until you beat Pat Mahomes, different story. But I think that this year, that I don't know, maybe this is a magical year. I just think I look where Kansas City's at. I look where the Bills are at. I look where the Ravens are at. To me, Bills are Ravens, and you look at the stability of the Bills and where they're at. Is that they're running and passing the football. This might be their best chance. Now, Bobby, you said that before, but I don't know. I just think that the AFC winner is going to end up winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, my deal is you can't do like you did a year ago and try to out-Pat Mahomes with Lamar Jackson. Two totally different players. You can't have that sort of situation occur. You got to play to your strength of your football team. And that is running the ball. And, yeah. Boy, you got the big horse now in Derrick Henry to complement the running skills of Lamar Jackson.
Well, you look at Baltimore versus the Steelers. The Steelers are relevant, but they're not relevant. Mm-hmm. They go to the postseason. Now, what is 8 years in a row, the Steelers weren't able to win a playoff game. Five losses in a row to end their campaign, their season. And you look at the Ravens, I mean, look at that comedy. The magic formula to me with Lamar is Derrick Henry. Look at the Ravens rolled up 463 yards of offense. That's almost blasphemy that the Steelers gave that up. And you but this is even more where this is unsettled. 300 of those 463 yards came on the ground, and 186 of which were Henry just running. So, I mean, you have to look at where the Ravens are at, and I think Derrick Henry, that was the best move they ever made to compliment Lamar Jackson.
And how did
I think they're right there. Who knows what's going to happen between the Bills and the Ravens, but all I know, I'm going to be entertained with that. And the reason why I say that, if you look at it, now look at the Bills. You want to talk about balance. The Buffalo Bills became the first NFL team to score 30 touchdowns rushing and passing the football. Now, the first NFL team ever, 30 touchdowns rushing and 30 touchdown passing. The fifth straight postseason, look at that. They're going to face the Ravens now. The Ravens, if you look at it, they routed Buffalo. I know it was an ass whipping. They beat Buffalo 35-10 at Baltimore in week four of the season. Now, it's not week four. Now, we're well into January. But you look at it, if I look at Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson, and when I look at where they're at, and you have to look at the past history, and you look at Allen, where he's at. Okay, they played before, and when you look at this, Allen and Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson, they defeated the Ravens 17-3 in the 2020 divisional round. So that's why I don't know. This kind of like flip a coin was going to happen in this game. I think it could go either way.
Man, one thing, too, has surprised me is the Texans, who had stumbled down the stretch. Man, they kicked the stew out of the Chargers. They beat them up defensively. Man, they had your boy. He was running for his life, and he was just throwing it out there. They couldn't run the football. Man, the Texans out-physical Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers Saturday, Bob. Wasn't even close.
But wouldn't you say that, I don't know, Justin Herbert, I know he had a career high, four interceptions, then one of them was like a pick six. They got waxed 32-12. But, you know, he threw just three interceptions in the regular season. So that was an anomaly when I look at him having that kind of game. And he had never thrown more than two in a game before. So it was like baby steps. No one thought that Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers would be where they were at. So that's why they kind of lay in the groundwork. They kind of overachieved considering where they're at.
They need help on offense at receiver, at running back. They don't have enough weapons to really get into any kind of shootout game. Bob, they're not going to win that.
Yeah, that's not how they
got to keep it low scoring if they have any shot.
Well, but you look at it, you know, it was a big key for C.J. Stroud, and what helped him was that I don't know why the Bengals got rid of Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon ran for 106 yards. That's only 106, but you have to look at how they were structured, and you look at Nico Collins. He finished with 7 catches for 122 yards. It just looked the second straight year Stroud and the Texans won in the first round. Remember, they beat Cleveland last year, but we should have known this, Mike, to look into that, because you look at the Chargers, then they're being 11-7, you know, now that the season's over. But you look at the Chargers lost in the wild card round for the second straight time after also losing in the 2022 season to remain without a postseason win since 2018. That's why they brought Harbaugh on board to turn the tide for the Chargers. So look at McConkey. He had that 80-yard touchdown reception for the Chargers. Mike, that Devastating memory was 23-12 and all that. They were coming back, then the two-point conversion, how that all came. I mean, they kicked it, blocked it, and ended up Texans getting 2 points on that. So I think the Chargers overachieve where they're at.
I agree.
But even if you look at the Chargers and the Texans, to me it's still the Bills and the Ravens in the AFC.
And they got to climb that mountain of Kansas City next weekend.
Who hasn't even played yet in the postseason.
Haven't played yet. We'll talk about Mike McCarthy, Saints, Mickey Loomis press conference. We come back here on the second guest show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, Mickey Loomis had his press conference today basically saying that the people in charge are staying in the exact same position. He's staying as general manager. Jeff Duncan questioned him about it. He said he's not going to retire, hadn't even thought about it, and basically said that, you know, he wouldn't be asked that question if he wasn't 68. Basically that Jeff Ireland and Mike Parrington, head of college and pro scouting, would stay the same. But his input in the fact that they're bringing in two consultants in, Randy Mueller, former Saints GM, who's also, man, he's been all across the NFL, and Dave Ziegler, who was a former GM with the Raiders. But the big news today happened in Dallas because a week ago we talked about Jerry Jones had blocked Mike McCarthy from talking to the Bears. denied them permission to talk to Mike. Today, they've basically come to an agreement. Mike McCarthy is not going to be the next coach of the Cowboys for 2025. And I think Mike McCarthy is a serious candidate for the Saints head coaching job along with Chicago.
Yeah, because he brings stability. Look at the success. He started out when he got an NFL coaching as far as with Joe Montana, going way back. We all know what he did in Green Bay. He won a Super Bowl with the Packers as a head coach. You look at the Cowgirls. His teams went 84-49 in his five seasons. Though that doesn't include 1-3 mark in the playoffs, but they were relevant. He also has ties, obviously, to NOLA, to Big Easy, having spent five seasons as the Saints offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004. So you look at, like, coaching odds, Mike. This is, like, for instance, like Aaron Glenn, minus 200. Joe Brady, minus 2-1. Kellen Moore, Cliff Kingsbury. Mike McCarthy's at 7-1.
I bet that changes.
Yeah. And then a dark horse would be like David Shaw. That's another coach. You might say that going back to Stanford, he's been involved in the NFL. That would be someone that it could be like a dark horse when you look at what all said and done. But when you look at, I think Ms. Gale and Dennis Lauscher and all, what they're doing is they're honoring what Mr. Benson wanted to do before he passed away. And they had the trust in Mickey Loomis, Dennis Lauscher, the whole organization. Even going back to Greg Bensel with the PR department, it's just like a lot of stability there. So and Mickey knows that because he earns the trust of not only Mr. Bensel when he was here, but also Ms. Gale. Now, you might say, well, who's helping you maybe get the players that we have here? Is it Jeff Ireland? And you can go on from there.
Parrington.
Yeah, you go on and
Randy
on.
Randy Mueller.
Yeah, they all now.
Ziegler.
So, I mean, all I know, whoever we pick at number nine, we can't be like, oh, he's
a. You better be like Fuaga.
He's a work in progress. He's going to contribute 26, 27 season. No, what he's going to do now. I think that's what who that Nation Saints fans want, is an individual that's going to be good and legit from the get-go, not trying to develop him. And, you know, you could talk about, like, two players that just stand out. I know it's all hindsight, but you look at Zach Bond and the season that he had with the Eagles. He ended up coming an interception. It was thrown right at him. But you look at a guy like Zach Bond. Okay, it was like he was in the building, but how can we let him out? And all of a sudden, it wasn't like it took him a while. He goes straight to the Eagles. He becomes all pro. Not Pro Bowl. He's all pro. And then we're all going to look at the sack leader in Trey Hendrickson, who led the NFL in sacks with 17 and a half. All of a sudden, we decided to go maybe with more upside, but also could be downside because he's not available with Davenport over Trey Hendrickson. And, you know, the Bengals aren't that. And now, the Bengals paid him well to leave New Orleans. You know, when he left New Orleans and he went to the Bengals. But it wasn't like the Bengals are one of those teams that they pay their top players.
They were throwing all kind of money at him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you might say, well, Bobby, using examples. Well, I don't know. They were in your building. And what did we not do this year? We did not get sacks, right? You're like, okay, us sacking the quarterback.
What has Hendrickson done the last 3 years?
No, you just look at the production there. And like I said, he led the NFL in sacks. So, again, that's not an opinion. That was actually what he was able to do. So, when you look at, like, okay, who's getting after the opposing quarterback, because I think that's all always a big part of what you have to do as far as how the NFL is structured. You're going to have to get after the opposing quarterback. And who got after the opposing quarterback more than the Broncos? You know, when you look at the Broncos and what they were able to do, now, that they didn't necessarily do that. You know, against the Buffalo Bills. But, Mike, if you look at the number of sacks they had, what they had, 60-some plus? I mean, you want to talk about getting after the opposing quarterback. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that when you think of what the Denver Broncos.
With Jared Allen and Benito did for them. You know, Jared Allen was credited with 66 quarterback pressures. Just him. Just one guy. off that Broncos defense.
Yeah, off that Broncos defense. And, Mike, that's why, look, it's always going to be what you putting out there as far as an opinion, as far as getting sacks. And, no, that's what was discouraging because, you know, when I look at, like, the Broncos and Sean Payton, that was almost like the version of the Chargers that they overachieved. Now, they got there. They turned things around quickly. But you didn't realistically think the Broncos or the Chargers are going to win anything.
No.
But they were right there, you know, so close but so far. But at least they were in the hunt. But that's one thing. The Saints, we need to get back in the hunt. And getting back in the hunt, you got to win double digits. So you think now this
Okay, would you be opposed if they hired Mike McCarthy as the new head coach?
No. No, because that doesn't mean we're going to win anything, but he gives us a better chance to win maybe 10 games. Go from 5 wins to 10 wins. I'm just telling you that I don't know if we're going to do that now. It's going to be a favorable schedule. We're only playing 3 playoff teams next year, so that's going to be favorable as far as the schedule.
One of those playoff teams is the Bucks.
Listen, maybe they said, and I'm looking, oh, well, Bobby, you just won the old coaches. I don't know. I think Coach Gruden, his relationship with Derek Carr, and look at McCarthy. All I know is they won Super Bowls. Don't you like people who won Super Bowls? Oh, Bobby did one a long time ago. I don't know. They still won a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Mike McCarthy is 174-112, a 61% winning percentage. He's 11-11 in the playoffs. And people say, well, he had a young Aaron Rodgers. Well, you know, you look, man, that's a lot of similar parallel between Sean Payton and McCarthy.
And then you look, Dak Prescott's all on board with Coach McCarthy. Now, I'm just telling you, Holly's worked with quarterbacks. No, he'll put you in position to have success.
I think the worst thing for Mike McCarthy was his owner, Jerry Jones. And we'll see where Jerry goes with that head coaching search. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to the Second Guess Show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former executive in the National Football League. You can read his stuff on the MondayMorningQuarterback.com, Andrew Brandt. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always good to be with you guys. It's in my life as a former agent, team executive, and business analyst now, it's always busier once the season ends than during the season. It's a counterintuitive to players and coaches, but that's what it is for the business of football.
Yeah, Andrew, right off the bat, I'll ask you, nothing surprising that happens in Dallas with Jerry, but your thoughts on Mike McCarthy as a coach in the NFL, because to be honest, and everything kind of opened up, Mike Vrabel was the guy. I think everybody would have wanted him, but we kind of saw that he was tied to the Patriots a lot of different ways. I think right now, the guy, if you had your pick, would probably be Mike McCarthy on a lot of teams' lists.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, I was part of the group that hired him in Green Bay about 18 years ago. It seems so long ago. And he was a guy that was an offensive mind, very creative, came from San Francisco and New Orleans, as you know. And he had some history with us in Green Bay even before that as a quarterback's coach. And again, what he is now is someone with skins on the wall as a Super Bowl winning coach. And of course, up until this year, 12 win seasons, 3 seasons in a row. So he's had a lot of success, and I think he will be a serious candidate. I'm not putting anyone in the favored box, but with the Saints and Bears, just as someone, like I said, that's, you don't find many former head coaches in multiple places with a Super Bowl victory, with success out of a, you know, like a player like Dak Prescott, that's extraordinary in those years he was healthy.
Now, when you look at it, does this come into play, like you look at Mike McCarthy, you look at John Gruden. Now, John Gruden, I think he got blackballed simply because, you know, the emails and, you know, when that happened. But is there a statute of limitations on that? as far as because he's been a consultant to the Saints. So what is your take even on John Gruden? You think he needs to just fade off into the sunset, or he's even in the mix? Because a lot of knowledge, he knows football and all that, but you think it's too much damaged goods. What's
he
up with him?
He ain't fading off to nothing.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to know because, you see all the reports of kind of the usual suspects being out there interviewed, whether it's the two coordinators from Detroit or other coaches that are out there being interviewed, but we haven't heard a word about Gruden. That doesn't mean it's not happening. I don't think the stain of emails, again, from 2011, I think they were, or 2012, when I was working with him at ESPN. It was a great guy to work with there. I can't believe that would be a factor now. You know, what might be a factor is just being out of it so long, but that's all related to something that shouldn't be. So we'll see if his name surfaces. I haven't seen it yet.
Now, who do you like? Would you go more on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball? Because that could fluctuate. I don't know. I want a leader of men, and you don't get a better leader of men than what occurred in Detroit. And then you look at Vrabel going to the Patriots. And obviously his track record, what he did with the Titans. But like a Ben Johnson or like a Brady you look at their age and all that, or Brady, what he's done with the Bills. It didn't work out with the Panthers. How do you break that down? And then are you truly rolling the dice that, they're great offensive coordinators, but can they be the ultimate head coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to figure out. I think, what you look at with Johnson seems to be such an attractive because this is a guy that turned down interviews for 2 years, but he's obviously now decided he's ready, that he's reached the highest point as a coordinator, and I know the Lions paid up big money to keep him. So we'll see where he goes. I think he'll have his choice of teams. When you talk about what's a good job, what's not a good job, is it a good job in Dallas, is it a good job in Jacksonville? To me, unless you're Ben Johnson, they're all good jobs because you don't have your choice. If you don't have a choice, of course it's a good job. If you want to be a head coach in the NFL, they're all great jobs. So with this idea that, this one's not a good job because of Jerry Jones or not a good job, whatever, I mean, they're all great jobs. There's only 32 in the world. Ben Johnson can decide because he's going to probably have options. But other than that, I don't see it. And I think that, Belichick was a defensive coach. Vrabel's a defensive coach. The trend is the other way. The trend is sort of the young coordinator, offensive coordinator type. That seems to be where we're going.
Now, what about where would you put, former Stanford coach David Shaw? One time Shaw was long rumored with to be an NFL head coaching candidate after several successful seasons at Stanford. And then he returned to the NFL this season as a senior personal executive, with the Broncos, Sean Payton. What is the interest with him? Because could that be a dark horse? I don't know, does he show enough passion or emotion? He just even keel? But a lot of wisdom there. What's your take on David Shaw?
Yeah, you hit a nerve there. I'm a big fan. I'm a Stanford alum, and I was, talked to his team when he was out there. I was treated very well by him, and I'm very impressed with him. The thing about him, he's not just a coach. He's a personnel guy. So he's been advising a couple of teams over the years, and he's been on the draft show, not so much about coaching, but about personnel and about players. So I think he'd be a really nice addition to someone's team. The question is it going to be head coach, or is it, again, that people are going to look for more of a younger profile, offensive profile, and maybe bring him in a role that's not head coach? So we'll see, but I'm a big fan there.
Well, the Who Dat Nation, what they would want? They would want maybe, but you never want to copy within your division, the NFC South. They would want the Saints to take the approach, maybe Atlanta. You remember Mr. McKay? All of a sudden, maybe he's in charge of the Falcons and not so much. Then Arthur Blank promotes him. I don't know, what's his title, president of the team, and maybe liaison to go to the owners, then all of a sudden Mickey Loomis would take the role with the Saints like Mr. McKay, and maybe you bring an outside influence, and David Shaw would be in charge of personnel with the Saints. I don't know. Mickey's not for that. But and Ms. Gale, and I don't know what's in the will, what happened with Mr. Benson, because the trust factor. It's amazing the trust factor that Gale is going to honor her husband, you know, who's deceased now. But the trust factor with Mickey Loomis, Dennis Schlauser, and all that. So is that something that would be more, maybe not now, but it could be in the future? Because Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. He'll be part of the Saints. But a lot of the Who Dat Nation Saints fans, they want some outside influence, and I think David Shaw could be that guy that maybe Saints fans would embrace versus just a different mind in the building as far as to be in charge.
I think that'd be great. You know, we read about the Saints being interested in Mike, being interested in Aaron Glenn. They're doing a wide search, and I think you should do a wide search. It's a unique time where you can sort of survey the field and maybe even pick a few brains organizational-wise, bring in someone from another organization, ask them a lot about how they do business, learn a lot. I went through two of these when I was with the Packers, and you use it as a learning experience. Now, some coaches are like, you know, are you picking my brain or are you seriously interviewing me? And you have to walk a fine line there. But you're trying to glean as much information to help your team in addition to looking for a new coach. So I think the Saints should do that and should be open to hearing about different ways of running things, different ways of managing the cap, different ways of listening to players or not. You know, it's a whole reboot this time.
Andrew, you've done this for a long time, and we haven't written, we're halfway into the 2020s. But, and certainly what Kansas City, Mahomes, Andy Reid have done has been unbelievable. But the second thing I think has a potential to happen, the turnaround in Detroit. My, you were with the Packers, and a lot of times they were the laughing stock of the National Football League. And to see them now at this level, compare that to just 3 years ago when Dan, you know, kind of took over things. It is a remarkable turnaround for a franchise who's not had a lot of success. And the last guy, quarterback-wise, to win anything in Michigan for a professional team, I'm sitting right next to him, Bobby Hebert with the Michigan Panthers.
Well, Andrew, you know, Mike brings it up. You know what was crazy? They'd have Michigan diehard fans. They love the Michigan Wolverines. Some of them like the Spartans. But they'd always tell me, Hebert, you know what I like about you? You're from the deep south like Bobby Lane from Texas. You know, they talk about 1957 championship. And if you look at that would be a great success story just for the Lions to get to the Super Bowl and where they're at right now. So you're about the starving of a winner and the fan support. You can't get more blue-collar than the Lions. And, you know, Andrew, I always like joke with him, and I tell people down here, I said, the Lions fans, they just like us, but they're Yankees. But they're the same people as us down in the deep south on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was had a lot of success in my decade with the Packers. We hardly ever lost. And you look at, you know, I felt for those Lions fans for so long, even with Matthew Stafford, great quarterback, and look where they are now. You know, the number one seed goes in with a heavy advantage. Basically, you have to win two games at home to get to the Super Bowl. So it's hard to sort of project any other teams winning, getting the Super Bowl than the home number one seed. So could be their year. We'll see.
Now, Andrew, before we let you run, I don't know, you look at the Eagles and, you know, people want to see Jalen Hurts to throw for 200 yards instead of 120, whatever. But I just look at, to me, the Super Bowl might be the Bills and the Ravens where they're playing right now. I can't wait to watch that game.
Yeah, I love the matchup there. It's for the MVP. It's for the right to go to the championship. It's got it all there. I love it. And you mentioned the Eagles. I think the best thing that happened to the Eagles was they won a game they didn't play well. So I think they're going to play better. Watch out for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree with you, Andrew. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love to have you on, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Andrew Brandt, a longtime executive in the National Football League, also was an agent. Now he writes for MondayMorningQuarterback.com. We'll be back to finish off our number one here on Second Guess right after this break. Finishing up here on our number one of Sports Talk, Second Guess, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll have a lot more Saints talk. We'll have Dave Hilbert with us, and certainly a lot of things happening here football-wise, coaching-wise, Saints-wise, and also a little bit of LSU talk as they have landed to Marcus Cooley, the number one rated safety in the transfer portal class and the highest rated defensive player on North Carolina State's defense from a year ago. We'll be back with all that and more right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 7 o'clock, and then at 7 o'clock, it'll be the wild card round of the playoffs as the Minnesota Vikings take on the L.A. Rams.
Well,
he's here.
And you know, Mike, before we introduce Dave, you know what? I'm intrigued because whether they're playing in L.A. or they're playing in Phoenix, the point spread didn't change.
No.
Now, that is weird. Don't you think that's a little unusual?
There's a lot of people like the Rams.
I'm
just telling you.
It's almost a pick-em point.
Because if you would move that, you would think that money would be moved more toward Minnesota.
Yes, but not
but
so.
But it didn't.
Yeah, not so much. But listen, we love – Mike, go ahead. I interrupt you. But
no, you go ahead and do it now. Dave Hilbert with us from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us. A lot of things happening in the football world. Your thoughts on Jerry and Mike McCarthy basically kind of tearing underwear and Mike can go and he can go coach somewhere else. And now Jerry's in the search for a head coach in Dallas. But your thoughts on Mike McCarthy? He's been in this league a long time. We talked to Andrew Brandt, who was part of the process of hiring him in Green Bay. And he was very complimentary of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, he just hadn't really turned stuff, you know, much around recently, so we'll just see how it goes.
Well, he hadn't won. Dave, the correct statement would be he hadn't won in the postseason. Now it's all about winning championships. Right. But right now, the Houdat Nation, if you could tell me with 3 straight seasons we'd win 12 games or more, because he did that in Dallas. Now, not so much this season, but as the Cowgirls, they're dysfunctional because of Jerry Jones. But that's why, I mean, he didn't forget how to coach. And you know who didn't bring in a defensive coordinator, Mike? Coach Zimmer, right?
That was a mistake on his part.
No, he didn't know. Now it's come out that he didn't pick him. You know who picked him?
Jerry did.
Jerry Jones picked him.
Because he was there before with Sean Payton. Bill Parcells was the head coach. Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator. Sean was the offensive coordinator. Mike didn't pick Mike Zimmer. It was Jerry that said, that's who's going to be my defensive coordinator.
No, and that's why I love it that the Cowgirls are dysfunctional. I love it. Now, Bobby, what about the Saints? I'm not saying them. I'm just talking about the damn Cowgirls right now. All I know is they're dysfunctional. And it's always a great day in America when the Cowgirls are not relevant.
Bob, I thought you'd have a little different take on this Mike McCarthy to the Saints stuff. I'm going to be honest. No. I thought maybe you'd have a little swerve to that.
No, because all I know is the top quarterbacks who worked with him, he's helped make them successful. And I think Derek Carr wouldn't poo-poo him, but Derek Carr wouldn't poo-poo John Gruden. The bottom line
is... And also
is,
to work with Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, whatever, the future. Okay, can we be relevant? Relevant as far as going to the postseason. I'm telling you right now, the Saints' goal should be, can we beat Tampa Bay? Now, is Tampa Bay... Tampa Bay's already out the playoffs. But they won the NFC South 4 years in a row.
And twice with Baker.
Yes, Baker Mayfield. Yeah, look, now they shouldn't have had that fumble exchange at the end. But Baker Mayfield, you know what I like about Baker Mayfield? Do you notice sometimes when he's running, he ain't worried about getting hit because you can't hit the quarterback anymore. He's running like a damn fullback. Watch Baker Mayfield. You think he's worried about hook sliding? Oh, no, you can't hit the don't hit him in the head. You can't hit him too high, too low. Now, so Baker Mayfield is running aggressively.
One of the reporters that covered the Bucks told me the story that Baker, after practice, he'll take off running with the ball and play as though he gets hit. And then next first thing he does is grab his helmet.
Right.
Man, he's already in the acting biz. That's pretty good because you watch referees today. They sort of watch how a player falls or a quarterback falls, and he already had that down. Grab that helmet. Grab that helmet.
Now, Dave, you know this. A lot of times a player will leave the Saints, and damn it, they go somewhere else like Trey Henderson, they're unbelievable. Zach Bond, Trey Henderson, unbelievable with the Bengals. Zach Bond, unbelievable with the Eagles. You know who was not unbelievable? Marshawn Lattimore was getting his ass burned. Marshawn Lattimore, with the Commanders, he got humbled. He might have had Mike Evans. It's a day in the past. You know, I have him. I got him in my back pocket, but not so much yesterday. No, Lattimore, you wouldn't believe, I go on Washington radio. I'm in D.C. and all, and I'm talking about, say, Lattimore, the greatest cornerback in Saints history. I think y'all going to have a dominant. I'm not saying he's Darryl Green, you know, old school, fastest man in the NFL when they won Super Bowls, but I'm saying Lattimore is going to be a stud. Now they all pissed off at me.
You the one.
Because I told him Lattimore was going to kick ass. Lattimore has been hurt, and when he's played with Washington, he ain't done jack. I'm like, and now,
you could see Evans had got in between the ears on him. After the first couple catches, because, I mean, you could tell by his body language how he was coming to the sidelines. Now, that's stuck in your head. And you've talked about that. When you have success against a guy, it stays with you.
No, because you have so much confidence. Whatever you do, Marvin Lee, you have the utmost confidence. Now, with Washington going to Detroit, St. Brown. What is he going to do against him? You know, Washington, they're saying, okay, look, we give up these draft picks and all that, and we expect you to be, come on, you got to, I'm not saying you got to completely shut them down, but you can't be getting burnt and stuff. So a big challenge for Lattimore. I think Lattimore got humbled. Come on, dude.
There ain't no question about it. And Chris Collinsworth kept saying it, and then they showed you kind of Lattimore Evans, and so... he didn't see that, but you could kind of feel the heat on Lattimore. Dave, tell us what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Man, I'll tell you, at the last Saturday in January, we're not going to do a card this time. This time we're going to give away $25,000 in cash.
Cash money.
Cash money.
Cash
money. Going to bring up. It's going to be split between six people. We'll bring six winners on stage, and each one will open up a briefcase. And the highest is $10,000 cash, and then $5,000, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So it's $10,000 cash or $10,000 free play?
Cash money.
Oh, cash money, homie. Oh, I like that. I like the cash. Who's against cash?
Now, you know you got to put this on your taxes if you hear
me. Yeah. So that's at least $6,000.
Yeah, I was going to say in that $6,200 range.
And then we got live entertainment back here. Started 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday. We've got the Monster Crawfish Band for Picayune and the Dave Maley Band, a local band from Bay St. Louis, two really top bands.
Dave, tell everybody, too. Number one buffet on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and also the steakhouse.
That number one buffet and number one steakhouse. Number one steakhouse and also voted number one for New Orleans, the steakhouse was, out of the New Orleans market.
Whoa,
so,
that's,
yeah,
that's strong,
man. Impressive.
But, Dave, I know you might be part of negotiations, so whatever that son of a gun.
Here we go, Dave.
No, whatever that son of a gun cooking those steaks, y'all got to keep him.
Yeah.
You might have to pay him to keep him cooking those steaks right.
I'll work on that lobster gumbo for you, Bobby.
Oh, no.
Oh, now you started. I didn't set it up, but you done started it now.
That is the only place I've ever been in the world, in the whole world. Listen, you could be anywhere in the world that they had chunks of lobster in the gumbo. It was like it was aristocratic gumbo, prima donna gumbo. I loved it right here in the Silver Slipper. Awesome.
And he couldn't eat all of it, so he brought some.
No, he couldn't eat all of it. He'd bring it home. It was chock full that all of a sudden, who ever heard of a doggy bag to go with gumbo? I had a doggy bag to go because you can make two meals out of this damn gumbo. It was off the chart.
And he's right about that. He tells me that every week.
We got good food here.
Okay. Also, you're giving away the fleece jacket?
Yeah, when you earn 400, 4,000 tier points, you get, or 40 table comp dollars, you in the month of January, you get a fleece jacket in your size. Well, I think we have large to triple R, large to triple X.
So you got, yeah, XL, double
yeah,
X,
double,
and triple X.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
He's telling you he wants a 2XL.
Yeah.
No, I just finished telling you. I am down to an XL now. I used
okay.
to be 2XL.
Oh, yeah. Well, an XL then.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then now, if you need a 4XL, you need to lose weight. You know, there ain't no 4XL. Sorry.
What about the iPad?
And the iPad, that's a drawing every night for the next 3 months at 7 p.m. It's a Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m.
Okay. So come on down to the Silver Slipper. We really appreciate it, Dave. Anything
come on
else
down.
You got on the calendar?
No, just the bankroll briefcase. The last Saturday is the big deal. So
bankroll briefcase. You came out with that, Dave? Bankroll briefcase. It sounds kind of mafia-like.
Yes,
right.
February is going to be big with Valentine's Day and all that going on. So.
Oh, well, he want that rose again.
I know we do. We'll have that
special rose. Yeah,
that's right, for JoJo.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Come on down.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper, Dave Hilbert. We'll be back with more Second Guess back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Delco. Delco, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
What's up, soldiers?
What's up?
So how you been, man? You been we didn't hear you during the Saints season. Were you been down and out or a low profile or what?
And mostly I've been through a few little procedures, get sick and stuff, but I'm doing better now, you know. And then I was down and out with the Saints all season long, man, and I couldn't believe what happened, you know, when the first two games stirred up this year, man, I thought we were going somewhere. And after that, man, sound like somebody pulled the plug out the water, man. You know, it was that kind of thing, man.
Well, because Delco, the first two games, that might have been the greatest in Saints history.
To start a season, yeah. I guarantee
no,
it was.
It went from the penthouse to the outhouse for
real
sure.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to say, bro, you know, I heard the rumors that today that Mike McCarthy was left from the Dallas Cowboys and I feel like I wouldn't mind bringing this guy in to get him in. I heard that the Bears and the Saints are the number one candidate looking for him. But you know what, bro? I'm looking at it like this here, man. I'm a Saints fan. I've been a Saints fan all my life. And I watched the Sean Paytons. I watched the Mike Dickers. I watched you can say all the names you want. I watched them all. Jim Moore.
That's like all of
you know, man. Tom Landry, all the guys, man. I've seen it all, but I feel that as a Saints fan, you know, all my life, I feel that Sean, you know, many years. I just want to thank Sean and Drew Brees for 15 years. He gave us a lot of good memories, a lot of fun, a lot of Super Bowls, one Super Bowl, a lot more than that. But I feel that if you bring a coach in, I feel that you have to bring a coach in that's gonna evaluate players. Not the fans, you know. I mean, when I'm saying fans, you hear a lot of fans say, well, we want this guy. We want this here guy. We want that guy. I feel that we need to get a coach in, and like a Mike McCarthy, if if the Saints could draft, get him in and let him get the players who he want that can fit the scheme that he win. Because you look at all these other games during the season all year long, man. Man, you got like Zach Bond, man. Man, this guy was on our team, man. Here he is, got an interception for Philadelphia Eagles. Yes, I'm telling you. Oh, my God. Where he was at when he was in New Orleans, man? You know, you look
even
at
play him.
You wasn't playing him.
But now we didn't play him. Now, I think Mickey Loomis would say maybe we got him, but then Dennis Allen didn't play him. Or our defensive scheme, we didn't find a place for him.
But the same thing with Caden Ellis.
Caden Ellis,
look what he's done with the Falcons.
What he's done with Atlanta. So, that's why we got to be all going forward together. We can't be in a tug of war against each other, the coaching staff and the management. I mean, to me, because Zach Bond, wrong place, wrong time with the Saints. Well, I know Vic Fangio figured out how to play him with the Eagles.
Baba,
I mean, he's all pro.
I remember the interview, and you know who did it was your old buddy, John Kincaid. He's in Philly now. He interviews Vic, and Vic was, I wanted two linebackers in the offseason. One was Zach Bond, the other one, Devin White. And he said, we signed both of them. Now, he said, Devin didn't work out here. But Zach worked out. And that was a Vic Fangio. And he's not a head coach. He's an assistant coach. But Sirianni listened to him. And, okay, he goes to Howie Rosenberg. And basically they get that done in signing Zach Bond.
You know, and then look at how quickly he hit the century mark as far as tackles. And he becomes an all-pro linebacker. Now, you know what has helped and that what the Eagles have and the Saints don't have is the mammoth interior defensive tackles.
The Eagles got that.
At the point of attack. So Zach Bond can flow sideline to sideline making tackles. So that's why I still think...
you got to get people up front.
Yes. You look Shai Tuttle, and he left and he went to the Panthers, and you look on Yamada, he left, and he went to the Falcons. Then you look Sheldon Rankins and all that. No, we've gotten worse instead of gotten better. Nothing against Brian Brzee, but he's a pass rusher. I'm talking about somebody that can occupy blockers or stop the run. Well, right at the point of attack, it seems like just a wave. Okay, just hand off the ball against the Saints up the middle. Now it's second and six. Or at second and five. We gave up 5 yards a carry on the run.
Okay, no matter who they hire as the new head coach, the first couple games of the season, guess what other teams are doing? They're going to run the ball right at you.
Right at you until you stop it. It's a copycat lead. They're going to run right at you. And that's why we might say we have a lot of needs because we need a lot of young players that, you know, because you don't have to pay your young players. And how we've gotten older players like DeMario Davis, who's been outstanding, Cam Jordan, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. You look at all that. But, again, I say this. Who's been our truly young studs? I don't know if you cut it off at 27 or under. We can have, good players. But who's truly elite? Who is elite for us? Maybe McCoy?
And it stops right there.
No, exactly.
It stops at Eric McCoy.
And
Fuaga's got a chance.
Yes, but he just started.
It's Eric McCoy, that's it.
McCoy just started, and if you look at it, the only we had no Pro Bowl players.
Now, J.T. Gray is the lead as a special team.
J.T. Gray, you know, he didn't make the Pro Bowl, but he was second team All-Pro. Mike, you look at J.T. Gray, he's a special teams ace, obviously, for the Saints. This is J.T. Gray's third All-Pro honors. He was also named second team like he was this year in 2019 and first team All-Pro in 2021. This is why I thought, how can you not be in the Pro Bowl? Because the players, when they vote, I've been part of that. But then you look at the combination of votes to be a Pro Bowler.
Also fans involved.
Yes. Well, because the Saints weren't winning, I guess that's why he didn't get more recognition.
I think that's exactly it.
J.T. Gray led the NFL with 22 special teams tackles, 10 solo, 12 assisted, as well as, you know, he blocked a kick. So, I mean, J.T. Gray, you know, we always have amongst the best. That's one thing that hasn't really changed. I think we still on top of the NFL as far as top special teams unit. You got to give, when Coach Rizzi became head coach, you got to give Coach Galliano and all a lot of props as far as success with our special teams. We very seldom, it wasn't a slam dunk 100%, but we very seldom got out coached on special teams. Now that has to continue. Now we just got to get better offensive and defensively considering, you know, where we are ranked. But JT Gray, that's someone that has lived up to the billing from the get-go. Remember we had Justin Hardy, Chris Banjo. We've always had stud guys. Well, JT Gray even took it to a different level with the consistency that he's brought to the table.
Bob, the other thing, too, is in the press conference today, because, man, if you read stuff online, I mean, some of that you wonder where it comes from. There were reports that Mickey Loomis would kind of insist on you keeping certain assistant coaches if you were the head coach. And Jeff Duncan asked him that today. He denied it. He said, whoever the new coach is, he will hire his own coaches.
Well, that's the way it should be.
I agree with that.
There's a reason why you call it head coach. Head coach. You can, a general manager, you manage. But a head coach doesn't mean you're the head honcho. So when you want the coaches that you want under you that is going to do what the hell you say, it's like Napoleon. If you're a general, Patton, whatever. No, I want the people under me to do what the hell I want to be done and going to get it done because I'm the fall guy. I'm the fall guy. The buck stops here.
Yeah, other than personnel, players are 1A, assistant coaches are 1B.
Yeah.
Look at Dan Campbell. He got players, but look at the assistant coaches he got around him. You got two guys that will be head coaches real soon. One in Ben Johnson, the other one with Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
So, hey, you need that part of the game. Coaching still matters. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're joined by man in the studio himself, Charlie Long. It's our triple option feature. So, Charlie, we'll let you start it off.
Guys, I'm going to maybe do some double feature action here, and just give me a couple seconds. Real quick, D1 Baseball, our friends over at D1, released their preseason top 25 poll. A little bit different from the perfect game top 25 poll that we reviewed last week today. Four of the top five are SEC teams, nine of the top 19 are SEC teams. LSU slotting in at number 3. If you remember the perfect game poll, they were number 2 behind Texas A&M. Texas A&M is number 1 in D1's poll as well, but D1 also has Virginia above LSU. UVA expected to have a great year. Rounding out the top 5, Tennessee and Arkansas. So 4 of those top 5, as I mentioned, from the SEC. And guys, I wanted to bring up the head coaching odds. We basically get this every single day from betonline.ag. They're really up to date. All the changing kind of odds with every head coaching vacancy now. For the Saints, the lead candidate is still Aaron Glenn. 1-2 odds, which is minus 200 for all those sports bettors out there. But what makes this kind of interesting is that Aaron Glenn's also the top candidate for the Jets head coaching job at 3-2 odds. Now, Brian Flores is behind him for the Jets job. For the Saints, Joe Brady is behind Aaron Glenn. Kellen Moore behind him. Cliff Kingsbury and Mike McCarthy both at 7-1. And as I mentioned, this comes in daily, guys. So we'll see really what happens with this Mike McCarthy odds, because right now it's 7-1. I've got a feeling it could kind of skyrocket pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so. Charlie, where is Georgia in that rating?
Yeah, sorry about that. Let me round out the top 10 for y'all. So North Carolina's at 6. Oregon State's at 7. Georgia's at 8. So Perfect Game had them at number 4. D1's got them at number 8. Florida State at 9. And then Florida rounding out the top 10. So, Georgia is one of those teams that, Mike, we talked about it a little bit. Wes Johnson's got them moving in the right direction. D1 believes in them. They're a preseason top 10 team. But Perfect Game had them a little bit higher as a preseason top 5 team.
Bobby?
You know, Charlie, like the viewership that always comes into play in regular season and postseason. And you look, it was a big success for Amazon Prime Video and Thursday Night Football. You know, their package averaged like a little over 13 million, 13.2 million viewers, a 13% increase over last season. You know, the NFL threw them a bone, and, you know, you had to, if you wanted to watch a playoff game, was that the Steelers and Ravens, if I can recall?
Yes.
Yes.
So that was the Amazon Prime Video game, and it just goes to show you they're part of the postseason. That's not going to go anywhere in the future. Now, my understanding, if you live in the local markets in Pittsburgh or Baltimore, you can watch it on your home station, not necessarily, like you got to go to Prime or Amazon to get it. But the viewership, like I said, grew 13%, saw 91.1 million unique viewers in the U.S. tune in for at least one game this year, that being on Thursday Night Football. That is a sizable increase over nearly 72 million who watched the first season they sold the product in 2022. So they go from 72 million to a little over 91 million. So they said, that's the exposure that we're looking for. And according to Nielsen, 11 games average over 12 million viewers, five more than last season. And all of the games average at least 10 million for the first time. Now, you have to look at, okay, how old are people watching? Okay, is it old farts? Or is it like, what is the median age who's watching Prime and the audience? I thought it was interesting. The median age of Prime's audiences was 49 years of age, 6.7 years younger than the average median age of viewers watching the NFL on Sunday, you know, which is like 55-year-olds. So 55 and a half, really, and then 49-year-olds are watching it. So that'll be interesting to see that that ain't going nowhere as far as Amazon Prime being involved.
Nope.
And the competition. So it's all in favor of the NFL, because negotiating, when you're looking at whether it's Fox or it's NBC, ABC, ESPN, that's ABC, and that's all Disney, but Amazon, and that viewership right there, Charlie, Thursday Night Football, that will be expanded. And so it'll be interesting to see, and you look at the Christmas Day games and all that came about. That's just part of the package. You know, we talked about Peacock and all that before. But you can't, you've opened Pandora's box. So it's not going to be your traditional, going forward, obviously. It's not just going to be Fox, NBC, and ABC, which is also ESPN with Disney, because of the success that you had the viewership with Amazon Prime.
5 years ago today, LSU, the 2019 Tigers, playing in 2020 for the national championship, greatest team ever. They won the national championship in the Superdome against Clemson. And they're the gold standard. You think about...
Look at margin of victory, right, Mike? Crush people.
And look who they played on that schedule. It was like a who's who of the top, basically, colleges in the country. And to come out of there undefeated... again, that team is always going to be looked at as the gold standard for everybody else. If you're that elite a team, you're going to compare yourself to that 2019 LSU team. And that happened 5 years ago tonight in the Superdome. Me and Marlon Favorite. Fave, I know sometime you're listening in. Me and Marv were sitting together, and, man, it got off to a bit of a rough start for the Tigers, but... Man, Joe Burrow cut a fire, and then, man, you know, Jamar Chase and Jefferson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that defense really played well down the stretch and really sort of befuddled Trevor Lawrence and the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah, now, when you look at it coming up, I think it's going to be a monumental upset. We can elaborate on that. We come back for the break in part of the show. Do you think Notre Dame can beat Ohio State? I think it'd be a monumental
upset.
Yeah, if they beat Ohio State.
You know, there's a lot of money rolling, I guess, because
there's point spread. Yeah, they take the
points.
A
lot of money rolling on the Irish. Tells you they got a lot of Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, can you have the luck of the Irish? All I know is the Irish have not beaten Ohio State since 1936. Okay, you talk about 90.
That may stay in place.
That's before, and now since then they played them six times and they're 0-6. So, but it's only one game. Can you win? But Mike, so we're gonna elaborate more on that when we come back about the point spread, because now could he become an NFL head coach, Coach Freeman? Do you think there might be an opening for him?
Man, why would I want to go to Chicago? One day I'm going to get my opportunity to coach anywhere I want. So I'm not going to Chicago.
But what if they'd upset Ohio State and the Bears would hire him and they pay him? Oh, then that's different.
Well, I got to see the Bears pay him
first.
That's the other part of that. We'll be back to close it up here in hour number two of Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Closing up here on hour number two of the Second Guess show. Like to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, in some LSU news, Damian Ramos announced that he will return for another season as the place kicker for LSU. And Bob, to be honest with you, he's turned out to be a pretty doggone good kicker. When I first saw him, I was like, man, they got some real issues. But Damian Ramos has turned out to be a pretty good kicker for the Tigers.
No, it could be, I don't know, Mike. Your record, how you get the double-digit wins, did you make the kick or you missed it? No, it could come down to that next year. But you know what I'm thinking?
Sometimes the snap and the hole is a little bit shaky.
No, that can never be shaky. That has to be automatic. Snap, hold, and then the kicker follows through and all that.
One thing is, he got a thick hide. Because, man, if he miss a field goal, Brian Kelly's on his butt. I mean, Brian don't have no filter between him and any kicker.
Well, somebody in the media, because Coach Kelly's straightforward, somebody in the media needs to ask Coach Kelly, are you cheering for Ohio State? You know he ain't cheering for no damn Notre Dame.
I don't think he is.
No, because, that's why I left Notre Dame, because I don't think I can win anything there. I guarantee you let Notre Dame upset Ohio State, I don't think it's going to happen. Coach Kelly, if he's truly honest, he's not cheering. I was at Notre Dame, I'm pulling for them. No, he's not. Because he left there because he thought they couldn't win the big game.
Also today, LSU basically signed Tamarcus Cooley from North Carolina State. He started his college career at Maryland. Then he transferred to North Carolina State last year. He was the highest graded player for North Carolina State defensively and was rated the number one transfer safety guy. Man, he comes up the field in a flash, but what's impressive with him is his ability to track the football in flight. Last year, 6 pass breakups, 3 pass interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. Man, he is a really tough guy in the secondary. So Tamarcus Cooley, who started really, they thought about putting him at wide receiver. He's from North Carolina, and he played a lot of receiver in high school, but then they put him at safety, and that's what he played at both Maryland and North Carolina State.
And we need a stamp
safety. Man, LSU, that is the one need position, and I'm talking about a big need for them.
So, Mike,
at the safety position.
He's there in the spring?
He'll be there in the spring. So, yeah. Tamarcus Cooley is an LSU Tiger. Also today, Donovan Green transferred tight end. Man, he was fantastic in 2023. Tears up his knee. Wasn't the same player a year ago. He has also signed with LSU at tight end. Now they got to get him an offensive tackle. They got to go out there and find an offensive tackle somewhere in the bunch.
And you know, Mike, what's attractive, you need more than one tight end at LSU because LSU wants to use 2 tight end sets.
Multiple tight end sets. Yeah. And who might see a lot of playing time? J.D. LaFleur. We saw his dad, David LaFleur. Be back with more Second Guess. Welcome back to the Second Guess show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. A little after 6:20, we'll have Ryan Roberts on. Ryan covers both college and pro football for A to Z Sports. But before he was doing that, his main gig was covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So he knew all about the Brian Kelly years and early on with Marcus Freeman. So we'll get to talk to Ryan Roberts about that a little after 6:20 tonight. Bob, I want to talk a little bit about college.
You got the Fighting Irish. You got to start getting the free songs. Na, 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 na.
But I felt bad for Rich. Man, they were so close. Rich Barty.
Yeah.
The whole gang from Penn State in the stands at the Orange Bowl. I didn't feel bad for him because I picked Notre Dame. So I got a cutting point there.
Well, the difference, the quarterback.
Oh, Drew Aller. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How can somebody look at that guy and tell you he's ready for the NFL?
But he's a cute, you know, like a lot of the women look at the quarterback at Penn State. Oh, he's so cute. Look at those rosy cheeks.
I want to win. I don't give a damn what he looks like.
No, I mean, it's like, they had to play, Coach Franklin, you had to play for overtime then. They had 30-some seconds left. You can't be throwing.
And Drew Aller did announce that he's coming back, which he needed another year of college football. And watching him at the Manning camp, man, Bob, talk about erratic. He's throwing against the air. I think he maybe completed 50% of the passes against air. Man, you got some issues, but I know you want to talk about the college football playoff.
Well, and you look at it, a little bit of history between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Now, I said this previously before we went to the top of the hour. Ohio State hasn't lost to the Fighting Irish since 1936. Mike, we're trying to get out of the damn depression as a country. Now, before World War II, when Hitler's taking over, Europe and all that, and laying the groundwork there for fascism. But look at it. That was the last time Ohio State, they hadn't lost to the Irish since 1936. Now, you have to keep it in perspective. Now, they've only played six games since 1995, but they're 0-6. So since 1995, the Buckeyes won them all. But the most recent were regular season games, Mike, actually in 22 and 23, involving most of the current upperclassmen that were involved in this game in 22 and 23. So they remember that. They're still on the team. And
You always talk about it's in your head.
Yeah, and Ohio State was able to come out on top. But if you look at it, the Buckeyes also beat Notre Dame twice in the Fiesta Bowl at the end of the 2005 season. 2015 season, and at a home and home series they had back in 95 and 96. Now, it's been a while since Notre Dame has been in this position. That's why I think Coach Kelly said, I don't know if we can, because academic reasons are different things that come into play. I don't know if we can, truly can win a championship at Notre Dame. We can be relevant, but to win a championship, so
okay, Brian was in the spot Freeman was in. But he got his butt kicked by Nick Saban in Alabama.
Yeah. So, but you look at the last time to play for the first national championship, Mike, was 1988. Man, I was playing with the Saints then. That's how long it's been for the Fighting Irish. But Ohio State, you know, what have you done for them lately? Considering how consistent that program has been, they're going for their first national title since 2014. So that's basically a decade, plus, or when you look at it. But I'm looking at the Buckeyes not only are in a college football playoff national championship game, but they are the second biggest favorites in the title game since the playoff began 10 years ago. Ohio State, Mike, the question I have for you, would you take the 9.5 points or would you lay it?
No.
I
think Ohio State will win. My thing about that is, Bob, I'm not sure Ohio State didn't play the toughest team they'll play when they played Texas.
Right.
Man, you think about Texas.
And they couldn't win it to overtime. All of a sudden, you think it's going to be 21-20. It's going to be 21-21. Then all of a sudden, you get the big defensive play. Now it's 28-14.
Okay. Pete Jenkins has always told me this. Mike, from 20-20, Sark is the best play caller in college football. But look, every year his teams are in the 90s. This year they're in the hundreds. Red zone efficiency.
Oh, that ain't good.
For touchdown. So, man, why you call that wide pitch play?
You're not going to outflank the speed of Ohio State.
Oh, Bob, he's not going to outlive that. Again, you had a lot of options, and that's why they pay you a lot of money to be the play caller.
Instead of tricking your opponent, you tricked yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, we might look at Ohio State favored by 9.5 points on Saturday. The only larger line for the championship game, this is like Vegas Insider, occurred 2 years ago when Georgia was favored by 13.5 over TCU. Now the Bulldogs, not only did they easily cover, they won 65-7. I don't want that kind of game.
No, they pulled the dogs off too, metaphorically. But that game could have been even worse than that.
Well, and Mike, you look at point spreads. Ohio State's been on the Notre Dame end of that. Well, it was only 4 years ago. Alabama was favored by 9 over Ohio State, and they won 52-24. I just hope it's a good game. I mean, you know, to me, if it's hovering around 9-10 points, that could be a good game because you don't know how it's going to. I just don't want it to be a blowout.
Wasn't it entertaining to watch Ohio State, Texas?
Without a doubt.
Now, at the end, okay, you got the ball popped out, and Sawyer made some big plays in that game. Jack Sawyer, the defensive ends. It was, he picks it up and he runs in for the score.
Mike, whether it's college or NFL, I want to be entertained. The same, the Hoodie Nation, we're not in the game. LSU's not in the game, so I want to watch football where it goes back and forth. I don't care if it's low scoring, high scoring. The only entertaining.
Even the wild card round.
The only entertaining game last night was between Washington and Tampa Bay. The other games, it was like, eh. No,
you
can go cut your grass and do something different.
Normally, that second round is where you might see the upset or two, and you get some really tight games.
Do you think Washington can upset Detroit?
No,
I don't.
No,
I don't.
No, I think Detroit wins, and I think they win big.
To me, a Super Bowl game before the Super Bowl was Buffalo and Baltimore. I don't know how that. Now, I might be disappointed, but I don't know how that game could not be good. Now, when you look at it, it wasn't good at the beginning of the season. Because the Bills got waxed.
The Ravens. Now, remember,
the Ravens stomped them.
Early in the year, really struggled. They lost to the Raiders in week 2.
You couldn't figure them out. They were like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But, Mike, look at the Ravens. Mike, they had stomped them. It wasn't even a game that was entertaining. I mean, but, when you play a team in the season, Mike, so, who are you going with? The Ravens or the Bills? I don't know.
I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay, yeah.
You can pick the Bills.
Okay. No, I like Derrick Henry.
I do know one thing. The big guy, he's a different individual. And he sort of trains his own certain way.
And I like James Cook too, Mike, but he's not Derrick Henry.
One thing I will say.
James Cook with the Bills.
Yeah, Joe Brady has brought them a rushing attack that they didn't have before he took over that offense as coordinator. You know what their running attack was? Josh Allen.
No, Jamie.
Man, look at him now.
No, it ain't Dalvin Cook, but James Cook.
Man, James Cook is a really good football player. He's not the biggest guy around, but he kind of dual sets him at running back. But I see Cook run the same plays Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for LSU in 2019.
Right.
The exact same stuff.
And I don't know. I would tend to trust Harbaugh over McDermott.
I agree with that.
Come on. I still don't know how the Bills lost to the Chiefs with 13 seconds left. When they got the lead, and McDermott's in charge of the defense. Think about when that happened, when the Chiefs came back and won that game.
We'll be back with more Second Guess and Ryan Roberts from A to Z Sports right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from A to Z Sports, Ryan Roberts. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this evening. I got a two-parter to start it off. First of all, the state of the Irish nation. I know you covered Notre Dame for a long period of time. Now you diversified pro in college. The state of the Fighting Irish kind of fan base, everything else. Second question, the biggest difference between Marcus Freeman and the coach that's at LSU today and Brian Kelly.
Yep. It's a great question, guys, and I appreciate you guys for having me on, obviously. But I think they are kind of very closely related, obviously, right? Because it felt like for a long time under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame had risen the floor of the program, right? It was about beating the teams that you should always beat, winning a minimum of 10 football games, giving yourself a chance to be in a playoff or at least in contention of it late into a season. This feels a little bit different because, full transparency, there were some games in the Brian Kelly era where, like, when I was going into it, I'm like, I don't think Notre Dame can win. Like, I just don't. Like, 2020 against Alabama, I could have try to convince myself, you know, if X, Y, and Z go right, they might have a chance to stay in that football game. But at the end of the day, you just didn't have the team to go toe-to-toe with Najee Harris and Devonta Smith and all these great players, right? But I think for the first time in a long time, and this is speaking from a analyst hat, but also with the fan hat on for a second, because I have grown up in Notre Dame fan my entire life, is this is the first time that I feel like Notre Dame has a chance against every opponent, which is just a crazy thing to say for a program that used to be, you know, one of the greatest programs in the history of college football, but has been a team that has needed to get back to the mountaintop, you know, over the last 30 years, obviously, right? So I think that it is very unique, because even though on paper you say, okay, Anthony Knapp, starting left tackle, is out now. You've had a string of injuries throughout the year. Benjamin Morrison and Jeremiah Love's had a little bit of a knee issue the last couple weeks, even though he keeps playing. Most people would say eventually that's going to catch up to you. Like, it's just not going to be able to be a consistent thing. At some point, all those injuries are going to add up, and you're going to lose a football game. But even with all that, and knowing how good and talented Ohio State team it is and what they've been able to do in the playoffs, – Notre Dame fans, and myself included, still think they can win this game, right? Like, it's going to take a great effort. There's going to be a couple things that need to roll your way. You're going to have luck at your side in certain instances in the football game, and, you know, those pivot points are going to have to happen. But you still feel like Notre Dame can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State, and they can potentially win a football game. And I think that that's the biggest difference between the Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman era, is right or wrong, misguided or not, Coach Freeman has infused a optimism in this program and a kind of a bully mentality to a degree, right? Like, even if you're playing against a Georgia, even if you're playing against Ohio State, like, whoever, you feel like you're going to win. And I think that's the biggest difference. And that's a long-winded answer of saying there's a lot of optimism around this program right now, and they think they can win, which is a great starting point, obviously. Now you need to go do it.
Now, speaking of optimism, you can do it twofold. Look at Ohio State and look at Notre Dame where they're at. What was the mindset after, like, how in the hell they lost to Northern Illinois? A directional school. It's not the Fighting Illini or a Big Ten team. No, it's Northern Illinois. But then all of a sudden you win 13 straight games. And then you talk about optimism. I don't think the Ohio State fan base was too optimistic going forward after they lost to a 500 Michigan team. They all ticked off. So it just goes to show you, can you weather the storm and adversity and then go forward? Because to me, that might have been the best thing to happen to Ohio State, how they lost to Michigan. They got humbled. And then maybe you could say the case for the Fighting Irish to win 13 straight after, like, whoa, we just got upset by Northern Illinois. And so you got to look at the whole foundation of both programs to be able to bounce back from that.
I think so. And I would even say, you know, to take it even a step further, is I really think that in the world of NIL and the transfer portal right now, it's a lot easier for college football teams to pack it in at some points, right? To say, you know, I'm out of here. I'm not working hard anymore. Like, that stinks. Like, I mean, and honestly, after losing to Northern Illinois when you are the University of Notre Dame and one of the proudest traditions in college football, I wouldn't have blamed some players for not giving up. Giving up's not the right word, but, like, having that mentality of, like, man, like, where is this going? Like, kind of questioning the philosophy and questioning the vision and whatever, everything that you put in the details of what is going to make you a winning program. I wouldn't have blamed a single person for having their doubts. And I think you said it perfectly, like, Notre Dame has used that as fuel, you know, to reel off 13 straight victories, to have the most wins in a single season. Now, obviously, there's an asterisk there because they're playing more games now, but you're 14-1, you've won 13 straight games, and you've beaten along the way, you know, some pretty good football teams, especially the last couple weeks, you know what I mean? So, yeah, they've used it, and I think the great thing that Coach Freeman is, before I get over to the Ohio State side, is that Coach Freeman has continuously mentioned Northern Illinois. Like, he's telling his players each and every week, that's cool, guys. This is a great feeling. But, like, remember how you felt that way, right? Like, when you lost that game and you were the laughingstock of college football and you were an embarrassment to everything, and I was too, then that's the feeling that we need to keep with ourselves. So I think that they did use that. And I think the same thing with Ohio State, you know, being able to go and beat Tennessee the way you did, to beat Oregon the way you did. And, you know, it was a tough physical game, which they ended up obviously getting a late score against Texas. But, like, Michigan woke them up. They did, you know, because I think the biggest question has been, you're Ohio State. You have three standards to uphold. One is to beat Michigan. One is to win a Big Ten championship game. And then one is to try to win a national championship. Well, the last 4 years, you haven't beaten Michigan. You haven't won a Big Ten championship game. And, you know, you have the opportunity to win the national championship potentially, obviously, coming up here soon. So you needed to be able to wake up, because there is a lot of people after the Michigan loss, and I think deservedly so to a degree, saying, man, is Ryan Day the guy? Like, is this going in the right direction? So I think both teams have used those losses to really ignite themselves and to really get the best version of themselves in the most important stretch of the season. And I think that without those two games, I don't think the teams would quite be in the position they are. Like, they needed those, in my opinion.
You know, and the question I have, Coach Freeman, you know, he's the hot commodity now where he's at. Do you think that the NFL intrigues him or not? Because you let him upset Ohio State, and then all of a sudden, oh, will he go to the Bears? Or, you know, the rumors and all are out there. So when you look at it from that perspective, and then if you stay at Notre Dame, is Notre Dame willing? Because academic-wise, it's a tough school. I mean, do you keep up with the Joneses as far as name, image, and likeness and all that, as far as paying players? Because just the way it is. You know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, and, you know, just got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, going forward. So what's your take on that as far as Notre Dame in the future, as far as getting the top prospects to keep up with, like, the Texas, you know, Texas, Texas A&M, or the whole SEC, Ohio State, whatever it might be. And then also, if you're a successful Notre Dame coach and you win a championship, it seems like always the top college coaches – get an opportunity to coach or be a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, I think for Coach Freeman's side for a second before I go back to Notre Dame, like, I think the NFL intrigues head coach Marcus Freeman long term? Yeah, I do. I would not be shocked at all if in the future he is in the NFL at some point. But I do think short term, that is not the goal for him right now. So I think that this rumors about the Chicago Bears, and, you know, there's going to be others, I think it's premature right now. Now, if this happened 2 to 3 years from now, I would buy it a little bit more. I mean, literally the whole reason that they signed the contract when they did before the playoff even started was people around the program, including Marcus Freeman, wanted kind of the rumor mill and all that type of stuff to kind of die down a little bit, right? Like, you know, I just signed a 4-year deal, not interested, like that type of thing. Unfortunately, he is a hot commodity. He's 14-1. He's 39 years old. There's a lot of attractiveness to him as a head coach, but he's trying to keep that away from him right now. So I don't buy the Chicago Bear thing right now. I buy that Chicago's interested in him for sure, but I don't think that interest is reciprocated now. If this happens in a couple years, you know, if he has a national championship under his belt, if he's won a ton of football games, I think that could definitely be a future endeavor for him. Like, I would not be shocked at all if he enters the NFL. For the Notre Dame side of things, I can just say, you know, pointedly that Notre Dame is very competitive now in NIL. When the portal first started, when NIL started, you know, was legalized and all that type of stuff, there was hesitation, I think, initially, and I think by several programs. I don't think this was just a Notre Dame thing, but I think Notre Dame was kind of, you know, let's not jump in right away. Let's kind of understand what the landscape looks like before selling your soul, for the lack of a better term, right? So they wanted to see what NIL really looked like, you know, what the market would be, how crazy it would be, the chaos, all that type of stuff. And then when they understood it, like, Notre Dame's not afraid to go in the transfer portal. I mean, they just got four kids this past weekend from the transfer portal for their 2025 team, right? So, like, they're not afraid of the portal NIL-wise. So the recruiting side, they're going to be smart about it. I think they're going to pay, you know, upperclassmen and recruits and kind of let the rest go throughout the roster to make sure everybody is taken care for the best that they can. But they're not afraid to spend it at this point. But I do think that there's still a feeling of, let's be wise, right? Like, we're not going to dump, you know, just X amount of money, like $2 million into a kid that is not worth that in their estimation, right? So I think they're going to be a little bit wiser with it, but I know that they are very competitive NIL now, and they have, after the first year or so, a little bit hesitant with the transfer portal, they're not afraid to bring in it. Because, I mean, if you look at this team, Riley Leonard was a transfer portal kid, a couple of the wide receivers, Bo Collins, Chris Mitchell were transfer portal, RJ Oben, their kicker Mitch Jeter, who made the game-winning field goal. Like, they're not afraid to go into the transfer portal. It's just about the right guys and being able to make sure that you're not overspending for the talent or the impact that those guys give back to you.
Ryan, I look at Ohio State's offensive line, and you know, when you lose your center like they did, and he was having a really good season. I remember scouting him when he was at University of Alabama, and he transfers to Ohio State, and then you know he gets hurt in practice entire season. Man, one thing they got, Ohio State, at left tackle number 74, Donovan Jackson, he doesn't get a lot of ink because of the fact you overwhelmed with the two running backs and the receivers and everything. The one thing Texas was able to do was they kind of pushed the pocket. Not, they didn't get a great pass rush, but they got a push up front. And yep. Not a lot of teams other than Michigan was able to do that to Ohio State. If Notre Dame doesn't get a push and Will Howard is left to sit back there and throw it to Abuka and, you know, you got the freshman Phenom. My thing is, if you want to watch a really good offensive lineman, watch number 74, the left tackle for Ohio State, who I think will be in the category when it's all said and done with Kelvin Banks Jr., with Will Campbell at LSU. You got to get pressure on Howard. If not, he's going to pick you apart with that receiving crew.
Well, and Will Howard's played awesome in the postseason. I remember the first game when they lost at Oregon. Will Howard at the end, the clock ran out.
He spit the bit.
And then against Michigan. But the postseason, I'm like, man, if Ohio State plays like that, they're going to beat everybody. They look like an NFL team.
Yeah. Ryan?
They've been excellent. They really have. And honestly, Donovan Jackson had a rough first start. I think Penn State was his first start, and Abdul Carter got him a couple times. But, I mean, Abdul Carter gets everybody. Like, it's not like a knock on Donovan at all. But Donovan settled in the left tackle. I know, you know, fortunately for them, they've made some depth over the last couple of years because obviously, like you said, you bring McLaughlin in from Alabama. You know, he gets hurt. And you do have, you know, a guy that started a full season in Carson Hinsman just to kind of put him in at center overall, right? So you've been able to create some depth, which I think is great. I agree with you in the sense of Notre Dame needs to be able to create pressure, but more than anything, they need to be able to affect Will Howard. Because when he is in the pockets and he's cool, calm, collected, and he sees the field well, I think that he's a very good quarterback. And we've seen that for the most part this year. There have been a couple games that have been a little bit cloudy, and they've been cloudy for a couple different reasons. I think one is when you get pressure on a quarterback, I always kind of laugh at the, wow, this quarterback, you know, struggles more against pressure than he does. I'm just like, isn't that every quarterback ever? But like, yes, you want to pressure the quarterback, obviously. That makes them makes their internal clock speed up, makes them get into some rash decisions, makes them make mistakes. Like, those things are all very natural, obviously. But I think the other thing is Notre Dame is a heavy man team, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this week, you know, Notre Dame, are they going to go to more zone? Because obviously Will Howard's good throwing against man coverage. You have man beaters all over the place in Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka and all these dudes. So I think that Notre Dame is going to switch things up a lot, and I wouldn't be surprised because they've done this in the past. I mean, Ohio State last year, Ohio State the year before, I mean, they had a great plan against C.J. Stroud 2 years ago against Ohio State, and they were in that football game for a long time. They almost beat Ohio State last year, came down in the last couple of plays of the game. But I really think that when you I think the post-snap rotations, you know, kind of hiding your coverage a little bit, making Will Howard think he's seeing something, and then his process had to completely change after the snap. I think that's going to be big. But I think overall, like, Notre Dame is going to win some reps if they are just flat-out four-man rush, get home, no movement. Like, you just have to beat your man. They're going to do it once in a blue moon. But I think that the way Notre Dame is as disruptive as possible is they really need to have some movement up front. You know, I need some games. I need some twists. I need some stunts. Like, there's going to be any second-level pressures. Like, there's going to be some things I think that Notre Dame is going to have to pull out of their bag. And I'm confident they will because Al Golden, defense coordinator for Notre Dame, is a very creative mind and one of the best defense coordinators in college football. So I would expect some movement up front. I'll expect some second-level pressures. I don't think that Notre Dame is just going to say, we're going to rush for man coverage across the board and just see what we're you know, where our ducks lie. I think that they are going to bring pressure at times. It's just about being smart with it. And I think mix and matching coverage is going to be big for this team because, again, if you just sit back and play man all day against Ohio State, you're going to get torched at some point.
Ryan, I know you do a lot of evaluation. Jeremiah Smith, the only guy that I can remember comes into college football like he's a grown man, was Julio Jones at Alabama. Yep. Now, Alabama didn't throw the football like they're doing today, but Julio was like a 27-year-old NFL player going up against college teams. That's the only guy that I can remember that walks off a high school campus and can do what Jeremiah Smith
can
do.
Well, and then Jeremiah Smith, you have to give
Texas a lot of credit.
No, because they bracketed him.
They did bracket him.
Short and long, you know, double team him and let the other players
beat
us.
And Ibuka got him.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why pick your poison. I mean, I don't know. That's why you got to affect the quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think picking your poison is exactly right. And honestly, that's why that game was close, you know, into the end, I think, because they were not just heavy man. Like, they were mixing and matching zone coverage, and they were saying, you know, Carnell Tate, you're going to beat us some. Mecca Buka, you're going to beat us early, but, like, we're not going to let Jeremiah Smith take over the football game, because ultimately that's what he can do. Julio Jones is the easiest comparison. Like, it is. I remember him when he was at Alabama, wearing number 8 as a true freshman, and people have asked this already, like, have you ever seen a freshman? Like, that's the only one, because he was already like 6'3", 6'4", like 220 at that point. Like, he was just a grown man. I mean, there's been some other freshmen that have done really well. Like, Amari Cooper, I remember, had a dynamite freshman year for Alabama as well. But, like, he was more explosive, downfield guy. There's very few guys that just walk in and you're like, that is the most physically impressive dude out on the field, right? So, 6'3", 215 pounds. He's a freaking nature. And, I mean, you're already seeing guys like Dane Brugler over at The Athletic, a draft analyst that I love a lot, that's, you know, been kind of speaking praises and saying, like, that kid would be a top 5 pick this year. And like, there might be slight hyperbole there, but, like, not totally. Like, you just don't see 6'3", 215 moving the way he does. So, yeah, he's a freak show. And fortunately for Ohio State and unfortunately for Notre Dame, they got a couple other ones that are probably going to be in the first round as well in the future. So
that's true. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Ryan.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much. Yep.
All righty. Ryan Roberts does a great job. Originally started covering the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now he works for A to Z Sports. Does a great job covering the NFL and also college football. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
James, what's James up? Go ahead, James. James, come on. You the GM for the Saints. What's up? He dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Okay.
Man, did James, did he get so choked up? Because, you know, James got, you know,
he got a lot of answers.
A lot of answers the direction the Saints should go. So what do you think, Mike? You think that's far-fetched? Because, I don't know, I try to tell fans, and, you know, people don't like the status quo. But you can't be changing just to be changing, you know, the whole thing. And listen, I'm not trying to run Mickey Loomis out of town. I'm not trying to tell Ms. Gail Benson or Dennis Lauscher what to do. But I can tell you one guy that is well thought of around the NFL, and he was part of the Denver Broncos this year, is David Shaw. Sean wouldn't have him around. He's the senior personnel executive with the Broncos. Now, I don't know if Jeff Ireland or Mickey Loomis and all would be all for that, because it's a power struggle, whatever. But I think just sometimes you need an outside influence as far as not necessarily status quo. Now, I think the fans would view, Mike, when you look at it, okay, who's had past relationships with Sean Payton? That's why Aaron Glenn's not good. Oh, I'm not saying he can't coach. I'm saying Aaron Glenn with the Jets. Can he play with the Jets? But to say to go with the Saints, a lot of fans might say, well, that's this is still part of Sean Payton and all. You know how people want change? You can't be just changing to be changing. You want some stability.
Bob, I'll be honest with you. Until this opened up today with McCarthy, I thought it was Aaron Glenn, number one choice, and then a big distance for the number two guy.
Well, and Aaron Glenn is still a part of, though, the Sean Payton tree, right?
He's part of the Sean Payton
tree. And when I look at it, the same Dennis Allen defense. I mean, might be at a better level.
So if Dan Campbell became an open, would you not go for him because he's part of the Sean Payton tree?
I would. That's why I said Vrabel, because that personality. But Dan Campbell, the reason why, not necessarily the tree there, but he's already been a head coach. Aaron Glenn hasn't been a head coach yet.
Okay, that's true.
That's the only reason why I've gone. Now, Mike McCarthy, he's been part of the Saints organization.
But that was eons ago. That's a Jim Haslett, Randy Mueller situation.
And then I'm sure Randy Mueller has a good take on him.
Randy's got a real good take on
right. And all I know is the jobs he's done with developing quarterbacks and experienced quarterbacks. His first gig, he was coaching Joe Montana. With the Chiefs,
that's a hell of a job, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Are you the quarterback coach for Joe Montana?
And he's dealt with Brett Favre,
Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, you can't get more extreme than that. He's dealt with Dak and Dak Prescott. So that's why the bottom line is whoever they bring in, they just got to win. They have to win. I don't care if it's offensive, defensive coach, and you might say, do you roll the dice with Joe Brady? But I think Joe Brady having a lot of success. Come on, Josh Allen's the quarterback. It's not like he's dealing with the Carolina Panthers.
The one thing I give Joe, and Josh Allen is who he is.
But
what he did to bring a running game
without
to Buffalo.
Without a doubt.
He learned the NFL game.
Without
I thought in Carolina, he didn't understand that
without
the hashes were different in college and pro football. You can't run those same type plays. He learned the NFL, and, man, look what he's brought. He's given them an opportunity to beat the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Without a doubt. And hopefully, like Todd Monken is going to realize that less of Lamar Jackson might be more, like I always said with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Come on, you got Derrick Henry back there? Derrick Henry's going to help Lamar Jackson be even better. So it'll be interesting to see how Monken, how he's going to, call plays.
You can't do it like you did a year ago.
Right.
Because exactly. You can't out Mahomes.
No, exactly.
We'll be back to finish it up here on Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on the Second Guess show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And when we go off at 7 o'clock right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app, Los Angeles Rams playing the Minnesota Vikings, and Bob, I'm intrigued to the point of how this is going to turn out for the Vikings after the butt kicking they took last week. And man, the Rams are an explosive team. That in the one area I worry about the Vikings, coverage. Man, they're not great in the coverage part of the game.
Well, Mike, it's going to be almost like a bowl game neutral site. But even in Los Angeles, it wouldn't have been a whole field
almost,
advantage.
That's almost a bowl game there,
too. Yeah, so the point spread stayed the same, a point and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Game.
Mike, I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Rams. So
that'll be interesting. Because Matthew Stafford, I don't know. I like Sam Darnold.
Bobby, end it for us tonight.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who that?
Go Saints.